This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Hard salami's okay, but it's not as good, right? Although, maybe if you're French vanilla, you'd be like hard salami.
You mean the best vanilla?
The fake vanilla.
The real, the delicious
the
vanilla?
Fake vanilla.
The creamy vanilla without sand and dirt in it?
It's Mike Shope.
I like that
sand
one.
Sand and dirt. The beans?
Yeah.
The
yes.
Specks?
Yes.
Are the problem?
It's granular.
The actual what vanilla is? The absolute worst take you've ever had. Because it's on different levels of offensiveness.
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
And the Bulldog.
Maybe when you first made the ice cream, they were interested in making it, I don't know, good. And added cream to it to make it creamy, to like thus ice cream, not ice sand, ice gravel.
People, what do we even do?
I mean, what are we talking about?
Help.
Police! Help! Police! Help!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, here we go. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Let's give Bulldog the blues question. You know?
All right.
Let's see what happens. Yesterday, you were in airports, on planes, traveling, didn't see the lottery, didn't hear, the show didn't work, so weren't plugged in.
No.
To what I was doing.
No.
Let's
did
say that.
Did manage to watch some playoff hockey and basketball on the airplane, but other than that, I was pretty out of it.
Two people, Zach and Chad DeDominicis, took this question head on and answered it similarly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The St. Louis Blues just had a 96-point regular season, making the playoffs on a tiebreaker over Calgary. So a thrilling, maybe the most exciting hockey season you can have, where it's just really close all the way to the end. That's not really the point.
And their playoff series went double overtime, Game 7.
I know. So they make the playoffs.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
They play Winnipeg, yeah. The President's Trophy winner. The Blues were never like anybody's Stanley Cup pick, but, you know, good season. You get the Jets. You're an underdog. You take it to 7. You win game 6. You take it to 7. You've got the goalie rattled, you know, perhaps.
Sure.
And you have a 2-goal lead in game 7 with just over 3 minutes to go. Now you can taste it. We're going to win. I mean, what's their win probability at that time? 90-some percent.
It's got to be very high, yeah.
What's their win probability with 2 seconds left and they have the lead?
Mm-hmm.
But 1.6, Winnipeg ties the game, double overtime. What is overtime like for a Blues fan?
Why are why do we even have to be doing this?
We had it.
Yes.
And it's two Blues fans sitting together, if you can imagine it. One's like, I can't believe that got away. The other person sort of quietly says, well, we don't have to lose. We could still win this. You know, right. The first person wants to punch them. And then late double overtime, Winnipeg wins the game.
Yeah, some, you know, point shot that just threw a maze, right? Just finds its way into the net. Well, that's hockey sometimes.
Joe Corvo.
Sure, right. Works.
Double overtime.
That bounced. like three-quarters of the way to the net.
Worst goal
ever. That Corvo shot bounced.
That was so terrible. Sad.
Yeah.
And you're out. You went from, all right, we're in the playoffs, to we got this. 1.6 seconds away to you lost. Would you take that season for the Sabres next year?
Yes.
Okay, 3 for 3. Didn't even think about it. Or for long.
Yes. Heartbreak and all. Sure.
I hate this answer.
They have to, at some point, get past the objective being to end the drought. Right? And, like, sure, they could turn into a team that is capable of winning rounds like that. They add the right pieces. The goalie gets really hot or lucky. Something happens, whatever. They could get, like, a lightning strike and have a season where they, they're maybe even kind of a real contender. But come on. That just seems so unlikely. It feels so far away. I would take that season, all of it. Yeah. And I don't know, like, when it's over, like, what am I doing with it? Because I'm not guaranteed of just picking up where I left off, of course, going into the next year. But what did I do? I ended the drought, and I gave one of the best teams in the league a real run for it here. All right, maybe I'm not that far from putting together a team here that can really be viewed as a contender. A 105, 110-point team that could be a force.
You ended one drought, but not the, you know, the one that really matters, which is winning. In the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Where I started here is we're going to need to get past that eventually. But until we get at least that, they squeeze in with 88 points some year or something, sort of like the Blues, although they had more points than that. But, you know, you get the point. Just sort of get in and, like, oh, look at that. Florida was very much that 2 years ago.
Well, what happened, though? They went to the finals.
Right.
Like, this stuff isn't linear, you know? Like, It sounds good, but I don't think I want to sign up for a first-round loss of any sort next year. I think really, like, it's not like that's a bad season, but I don't want to buy it. I don't want to just be like, okay, because that's a sign. You're not exactly saying this, but a sign that things are going up, right? I mean, the next year, who knows? That would be the way St. Louis lost. Is think about Buffalo for this. I mean, it would just be unforgettable. It would go on the list. The year you lost with 1 second to go, and then in overtime, it would go on the list. And I don't think these Music City Miracle, Brett Hull, these losses don't include, the memories don't include what your expectations for the season were. Really, right? Like it's more just though, like the years go by and you're there. And that happened.
Right.
And it goes down in history. Chad said to this, I asked him this question, and he said, absolutely, I would take it. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, you know, it would sting for a day. I think it would sting forever. I think it would be the kind of loss that would just never be forgotten. And I don't know. I don't want that. I'm saying no to this offer.
Yeah. I'm not saying we'd get over it so quickly. But I think I'm probably with Chad. We went through this with the Bills, and they played one of the most, like, hard to watch from an aesthetic. Just that playoff game was a terrible game. It was a terrible sporting event, and it didn't really matter, right? I mean, it's just one game, 3 hours, but the drought ending was what that was. And now, you know, we can look back now and look at what's been built here and, you know, react however we choose to rewrite it to how important that was to the overall here, right? But because it kind of started over the next year. I mean, here comes Brandon Bean and it's Josh Allen and it's just a whole different thing. But still, you know, they did get the credibility of getting that playoff drought off their backs. So I need to do that. And it feels like I cannot do anything else until I do that. Great if you can manage to do more than that in a single offseason, but holy cow.
I think that Bill's example works in one way, and that's McDermott. McDermott bought himself credibility, time, by doing that. I mean, I've heard him reference it. Like, we ended the drought. That team was not, I'm not meaning to take credit away, but like, they weren't good. The most memorable thing that happened in that year, apart from Tyler Boyd making a play for the Bengals against Baltimore, is Peterman getting just ridiculously trounced in that game against the Chargers. Like, you know, there were other highlights, but it was really just a fluke. And so, right, they changed. I mean, they had Hyde and Poyer on that team, right? They had Trey White as a rookie on that team. They were building it. Milano, even.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good draft. But it was, Allen was sort of like a reset.
Right.
The next year, it was a bumpy rookie year, and it's after that, I think that's the beginning of the era. It's hard to even sort of remember it right, with McDermott being here with Tyrod Taylor
right
for a playoff team. I don't know. Like, Ruff doesn't need that. It's still a first-round loss, and it's an excruciating one. And to me, like, in hockey, you get in, you can make a run. And St. Louis was almost
right
an example of that. Against the best goalie and against the President's right. Trophy winner. They'd be a team that you would, you know, when we talk to Paul, you because Paul might say, well, you could get in, but you'd have no chance. And you're like, well, what about the, you could say, what about the Blues? You were a second and a half away right. from saying, well, what about the Blues?
Right.
And there are often those examples.
In hockey, for sure. Yeah,
you mentioned Florida.
You get so much of that once the playoffs get going. It's that, like, oh, I can't even, because you haven't watched hockey that fast all year, really. Maybe you watched the Four Nations face-off and got your taste of it, because that was accelerated. That was what that was. Even, you know, further because of the overall talent line over line over line versus the, you know, the best NHL teams. But it's always, oh, they'd never be able to keep up. Everybody plays faster. It's just more intense. Like, you have no idea what any of these Sabres players on this roster currently would look like playing in the playoffs. But to get there and then have that extra gear, like, that's a part of it. And every player in the NHL is capable of that. Just rising the level of intensity. And you find, wow, I haven't seen them play this fast in a long time. Well, that's because they haven't been in the playoffs.
They might be the kind of team that would be better.
Who knows?
Because of their talent.
Yeah. But I just, you know.
That's something you can hang your hat on, isn't it?
As bittersweet as it would be, I need a week. I need 10 days of this community remembering how awesome that is. And the only way I'm going to get that is to get there again. And so, like, I don't want to, I never want to put my name on, I don't care what happens once they get there. I'm just about there. I need hockey, because what you're buying by making the playoffs, of course you're buying the extension of the season, and, you know, hopefully it goes longer than 10 days, right? But you're also buying February, March, and April. It matters. Like, I'm in a race. These games matter for seedings, for road, whatever it is. Like,
getting in.
That's just been so foreign here for so many years, where there's been the odd year or two where it's been like, oh, they win tonight and get the right result, like, they could be in a spot when we wake up in the morning. Like, that's happened a time or two.
Mm.
But even that, you're reaching for any sign of there being substance to these games.
That always feels terrible.
Right. But here, you're actually in the right, you're in the spot. You're trying to get second instead of third, so you get home ice in that Atlantic Division matchup, or you're trying to get the top wild card versus the bottom wild, whatever it is. But you're confident you're going to make it. Man, the last 8 weeks of the season are great.
With the Sabres, those examples of, well, you're 7 points out, but if you beat Detroit and Ottawa loses, just feels like you're staring at the phone waiting for her to call, and just, you know, you're just making it worse. You know, didn't we have that this year even? Like, don't do this to me. Don't tell me how many points and magic number. Don't do this to me, because I know I'm just going to get hurt. Here's Matt with us. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. I don't know how you wouldn't take it, because the Sabres just keep extending their NHL record of futility. And I don't know what we did as fans to deserve having the number one and number two records of playoff utility in this, both sports leagues all time. But, you know, that would exactly be a way that the Sabres would, or a Buffalo sports team would, end up losing. Because look at what, how we lose in the playoffs. I don't even think that would make the top 10 in terms of, like, playoff losses for heartbreaking ways to lose. It's in the first round, like, really, you know, whatever. I mean, you look at the Super Bowl losses, or, like, no goal, or any of those other losses that are, like, use a city miracle, whatever. They would be way more devastating than losing like that. But, you know, that would just add to the list of ways that Buffalo sports teams lose.
I think you might be understating it a little bit, the way you position that. But largely, I agree. I think you get to that point in the season and you've ended this extended drought. How mad are we really for the next 24 hours or 48 hours? I don't know. I'm guessing if the Bills are any kind of precedent, probably not that angry. Like, what a ride. Look at that. Okay. What do we need to do next? Right? The drought is over. We finally cleansed ourselves of that. And I think that's a win for the season. Especially because the series, in the end, years down the road, does it matter that it was game 7 and it was so close and the heartbreak? Like, I don't know. But in the moment, it's going to feel like you gave one of the best teams in the league a really good run for it. And I think I would be feeling optimistic about the future for the first time in, well, you know, 15 years.
Two things from the caller's takes. The Bills' drought is not the longest ever. 25 is that number, mostly pre-Super Bowl era, Washington. And even in the Super Bowl era, New Orleans went 20 years, Arizona longer, also bled into the Super Bowl era. So 17 is not the league record. The Sabres' drought is the NHL record. So you're right about that. Losing game 7 that you led with 1.6 seconds to go and then lose in double overtime would not even be in the top 10.
Yeah, see, that's why I said I think he was underselling it.
Give me the top 10. Are the Braves on the list? Give me the top 10. You want to make a top 10? We rank things. The worst, imagine tuning in to hear that. The worst Buffalo losses, it would be on my top 10. What's the worst Sabres? No goal, number one, right? No goal.
Yes.
What's second? Carolina?
Yes, I think so.
Caller mentioned first round as a strike against this one. So that's the conference finals, game 7 of the conference finals.
Yeah.
Brad Park?
That's
game 7 overtime,
that's
second
this.
Round.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah.
That's also Kasparaitis. All right, maybe it is another top 10. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of them. There's a pretty good list. Well, most cities have a list like this, but they also have wins.
Yeah.
Kasparaitis was game 7, second round.
Yep. You might. And we didn't even get to any of the Bills ones. So maybe the caller's right to say it wouldn't even crack the top 10.
But
a big part of why would be what you accomplish, the drought. Like, if it's a run of 5 playoff appearances in a row or something, if you're the LA Kings and you just cannot beat the Edmonton Oilers, then no, that is not fulfilling.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
But if it ends a 14-year playoff drought, yeah, I'm good over here. Thanks.
But I want to say again, think of those examples. What did I do? 1982 is Park. 2006. 2006 is a good example. I'm saying again, I think this is really important to this exercise. How you felt about the drought is like an actual factual thing. How you felt, though, about expectations for those seasons are not relevant. Like, they don't even come to mind, necessarily. You just think about the endings. 2005-06 was not supposed to be, like, a great year, but it turned into one. That's another reason why I would not sign up for this Blues thing, because you just never know what the road can be. And maybe my 96-point season is, like, again, I've got a high-paced team that will, you know, never been to the playoffs before. That's 05-06. No, a lot of those guys had never experienced it. And then they showed up and they were great. And, you know, I played a couple of bad goalies and there I'm in the semis. So who knows?
I can appreciate that point. There's a reason why the 05-06 team, to me, is more sentimental than the 06-07 team. And it's almost 100% because of the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
That 05-06 season did not begin with us thinking they were any kind of a favorite. And by the time the playoffs were on the horizon, it started to feel like maybe they could be. Although there wasn't a ton of people. You thought they could win it when the playoffs were beginning. I still remember sitting in here with you doing some sort of round table going, I like us.
Yeah.
Or something.
I think I was lucky.
But nonetheless, your frame of mind matters. And now we've been through the drought. And so all I think, like anyone who's answering this question as quickly and as definitively as I and Chad and Zach all did, is simply like, I've been through this, and now this thing happened. It's impossible for me to not be overjoyed still, even though the result wasn't what I wanted.
If you go back to 2005, now we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about expectations going into that season. Mostly we were mad at hockey.
Right.
They had canceled the previous season, and they were going to trick it up, and who knows what it was going to be. Are people going to go? Fans were mad. I'm not going back, you know, all the things. I doubt we spent much time on how good will this team be. But if we did, and I had said, hey, Bulldog, do you think, because we were sitting here, what if I told you they would make the playoffs and lose to the Flyers in Game 7 despite having the lead with 1 second to go, would you take that? You'd probably say yes,
yeah,
because they've been out of bankruptcy, and that's progress, mm-hmm. And you know they had a young mm-hmm. team. You'd probably say yes. Well, good thing that didn't happen.
Yeah.
They instead lost an excruciating seventh game of the third round. Right?
Isn't that great, everybody? That was way better.
That was way better because you have,
right?
Well, yes and no. It's better, right?
Right?
It's better because you have that Ottawa series that's just incredible to remember. Yesterday was the anniversary of game one, I think. Well, it includes an excruciating defeat, which, you know, those are part of sports life, but I think it's kind of fun to think about. Part of it is thinking about them actually in the postseason. That's good.
That's fun to get lost into.
That's
fun. Yeah, I like the question. A lot.
All right.
So thank you for presenting it to me. Okay. Although I did not hear anything about B.B. King or Buddy Guy.
No, you didn't. No blues music was referenced.
Yeah, until now.
But, you know, the blues are when you lose.
Yeah.
Blues are a good name for a
team. That's why they call it the Blues.
I guess that's why they call them the Blues.
I should be fired.
Anybody else want it? Would anybody else say no? I'm the only one. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Paul Hamilton at 6. This is WGR.
The winner of the 2025 NHL Draft Lottery and the first overall selection in the 2025 Upper Deck NHL Draft belongs to the New York Islanders.
I missed it. And then I heard the Islanders won from a friend who told me that when he saw Ken Morrow, he knew they would win. Because Morrow never loses. Olympic team,
wow.
Islanders, like he knew the Islanders had it when he saw Morrow. I guess Kevin Adams doesn't come with the same reputation, sadly.
So Morrow was the... I didn't realize he was the...
I spent a lot of time talking about it yesterday.
Designated person.
Reading through the number combinations, but I didn't see it. And once I heard about the outcome at about 8 o'clock or so last night, I was at St. Francis for Canisius Lacrosse, then I never thought about it again, or today at all. How was it? You didn't watch it either.
I didn't watch it. I was on... Yeah, I heard about the result while watching the Leafs and Panthers last night on the plane.
Did you watch it?
I watched it. I was on air for it. I liked it a lot better. I mean, they did the whole, we're going to show you the live odds that you have, the whole thing. Didn't do it for the second draw, though. That's where the NHL botched it again, because the entire second draw, they're just interviewing the Islanders guy, and no one has any idea what's going on, or at least I didn't, because we had it on mute. But I enjoyed how quick it was and just very upfront it was.
Did they drag it out one number at a time, the first draw?
Yeah, you got the first one, then they would show you, all right, where's everyone now? Second one, same thing, and on and on.
How did the Sabres' odds change?
They initially got worse, then got better, then I think got worse, and then they were gone.
Yeah.
And it was the same for San Jose. San Jose got up to like 38% and then just cratered.
I thought I saw, I should look, it was in his Twitter feed. Sal had a screen grab of the balls near the end. And I believe what he said in the tweet was the last ball that won the Islanders the lottery, the number the Sabres needed was 2. And in the photo that he posted, the 2 was right behind the ball that went through.
All right.
That won it for the Islanders. So they were that close.
There's a 7, a 12, a 14. Have we talked? Yeah. It was fun yesterday. At least I thought it was fun.
Did you bring back ball 1?
I did not. That's never been my thing. I never went to the fair. I don't even really get it.
Needed me for that. No, it barely in context makes sense, but, you know, it worked for us.
7, 12, 14, and whatever. And there's 2. Plain as day.
Yeah.
On Sal's Twitter. There it is. It was right. But that would have won it for the Sabres?
I believe.
The opposite of the one where they beat the Blackhawks out, the last ball. Whatever, was that Owen Power or Dahlin even maybe? I forget. One of them. One of the times the Sabres won, there was a battle between the two balls.
Wow. Good thing the Power ball won.
The Sabres ball.
Ooh, I did a lottery thing there.
Yes.
Sorry. Any affiliation? All right, I'll stop. I'm not going to read through a disclaimer I don't need to really read.
So are we going to say that the league will do that again? That they'll actually...
It sounds like
be more transparent.
It sounds like it was met with enough favor that I'd be surprised if they went back to doing it the way they were doing it. And that makes me bummed out that I did miss it, because I would have liked, I'd like to have it to judge against the other ones. But I don't know. Honestly, I appreciate you got a day. You spent the day talking a lot about it. It's just so hard. It's so much of the frustration of what has happened with the Sabres and the fan base is it's worse because of the lotteries. You know, like it's like, you don't have to agree that drafting the best players should be the fastest path to becoming a good team again, but you know, it's worked in plenty of examples around all of sports. Okay, so the Sabres, no, they didn't win in either 14 or 15. But holy cow, the player they drafted in both of those years, they're both they're top line players. It's hard to do better.
Would you rather had McDavid? Sure. But like Eichel is one of the best 200-foot two-way players in the league now.
And Reinhardt is better than Eichel.
And Reinhardt is a tremendous goal scorer and just continues to produce. And then on top of that, you've got two more lottery wins shortly thereafter, right? It was Dahlin 18 and then Power 21. Like, that's supposed to help you figure out how to not continue to miss the playoffs. It's the thing that teams, many teams that have won, Chicago, high picks, turned it around. Pittsburgh, high picks, turned it around. Toronto, Austin Matthews, turned it around. Like, that. 1 year down, all the way back up. Edmonton, quintessentially, it took them a while. They're more like the Sabres because they had success earlier with the lottery. Yakupov, Taylor Hall, guys like that.
Nugent Hopkins,
thank you. Now, he's still there, but you know, eventually they get around to Drysdale and McDavid, and now they're winning rounds most years. But the Sabres, like everything you would have wanted to happen – that's really not in your control. Like it's the lottery balls. It's the draft order. It's the prospects. That all went as well as you could hope for it to go. And still, here we sit.
Right.
It's incredible.
That's right. Even some of the other picks were not, like, terrible. You know, I mean, Benson's good. Mittelstadt didn't work out, but wasn't terrible. Like, when you're drafting as late as 9-10, your odds aren't so great that the guy's going to be a star, sometimes, but not usually is the guy like a superstar picked even, what, where's the cutoff for you, like the top five?
Barely beyond that, yeah.
Good players, but not always, You can't expect greatness, I think I would say. Ninth pick this year, you want somebody who's good and here for a long time. You want, what Benson could be.
Right.
RJ's next. Hi, RJ.
Hey, guys. So the biggest thing I got going on here is there's no consistency with Josh Allen. That's what I fear, that this man's going to be on this team, and we're going to drag him along for the next 4 to 6 years and not give him consistency. So we got Elijah Moore. We signed him for 1 year. We're signing all these wide receivers, Max Hollins, 1 year. We bring these guys in. MVD was on a one-year deal. These guys, nobody was here for the long term. How is this man supposed to get consistency? And I hate this, we all eat, we all do this. At the end of a game, when we need to have a winning drive, we need to have a wide receiver that can break away, get open, and not running a 10, 12-yard route across the field, hoping he's going to get open. We have to have that star. But how can you have a star when there's no consistency?
Well, I mean, you're not naming everybody. Certainly Diggs and Davis offered that. You want Coleman and Kincaid to offer that. Shakir has offered that. I don't know if the Bills' rate of turnover at receiver is really that unusual. I really don't know that answer. I don't think about it in that context. So I think more about just general quality than consistency. I think about consistency, your word, continuity with the line. And they've definitely, been successful up front. And that's even including some changes, although not this year. What do you think? What's your instinct on this point? Are the Bills an example of a team that turns over their wide receiver room too much or too often?
I don't think so.
MVS didn't really matter.
No, I think if you Diggs gets traded, so now we're into this new territory. So they kind of started over there. Shakir's the one holdover. I don't know. I feel like their room is pretty stable, actually. Like there's no great player in there, but they're going to have your top four guys, three of them are the same from last year. Palmer is switched in for Hollins or Cooper, however you want to cut that. But the other three guys, Samuel, Coleman, and Shakir, are still there in some basically the same order, however you want to put them, rank them. I think Shakir is at the top, and then from there you can figure it out. So I don't know. Like, I do think where we are now, I was pretty fond the last year of referring to this as the first great experiment of Allen's career. Can we make this work without that guy out there? And they set a franchise record for points. They scored like crazy. I think if you get something close to that again this year, then the experiment, because I think 1 year, turnover luck, whatever it was, I wouldn't want to trust that that's proof that I don't need more at receiver, right? That Brandon Bean is right, right? If they get a year this year that's close to what they did last year, then I don't know that they're ever going to be interested in getting a number one receiver. Because you do it 2 years in a row, you'd be like, what am I doing again by not paying someone $30 million to be on my team? Do you see my team out there?
What makes it fun is you can always cut it different ways, but like RJ, first team, who's the first team you want to compare them to? Why wouldn't it be Kansas City? Kansas City has Kelce, and maybe that makes the rest of this moot. But they've had four different leading wide receivers the last 4 years. Tyreek Hill, 13 seconds is Tyreek Hill. The next year it's Juju. And they win the Super Bowl with Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. Matt Verderam mentioned those names. Juju was their leading wide receiver in 22. They would bring him back, but he wasn't a factor the next time. 23 is Rice, rookie
breakthrough
Rice.
Right, yeah.
And then he goes out pretty early last year, and it's eventually Worthy, I guess, right? Marquise Brown wasn't there before last year. Rice was a rookie. Worthy was a rookie. That's not consistency.
No.
That's the same. That's more. I think that's probably more turnover than what the Bills. Right. Just one example.
But they have Kelce. Kelce is the big piece there. Yeah, right. That doesn't exist here, but still.
Diggs was the Bills' Kelce.
Right.
And Kelce was supposed to have retired by now. Why hasn't that happened?
I don't know.
What's left to prove here, buddy?
I want to hope that they really regret that he didn't retire.
The Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm hoping that we all can look at it. See, you stayed too long. You should have left when you could have left. Your Uber was here.
They couldn't find him.
Couldn't find him.
The Uber driver couldn't find him. He was supposed to be at this entrance, but he was over there.
Yeah.
That just happened to you.
That just happened to me in the mountains.
That happened to me at a casino.
That was great.
In Washington.
By the way.
My
wife is quite a gamer, I'll tell you.
Not great. That's not a great feeling when they're parked waiting for you and you're like a mile away or something.
Yeah.
Not a great feeling.
No.
All right, RJ. Well, you know, I think quality is the thing more than this consistency idea, but maybe I'm wrong. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Thanks for listening or watching YouTube, Twitch every day. One thing you don't see, although maybe you could have noticed it, this would be like almost creepy if you did. But we probably should welcome listening and watching all the time on all the different...
okay.
You know, in all the different ways. There are two things that I think it's probably Jeremy does that I change as soon as I get here every day. One is I think it's Jeremy, right?
Yeah, Jeremy sits where you are.
I think it's that he doesn't want this chair. We both, I think he sits on the same chair. He doesn't let it do this.
Recline, okay.
He doesn't let it, you know, recline. And first thing I do when I sit down is I check and I change it.
Okay.
So I can do this. Because that really feels like I am a prosperous adult. I have made it in life because I can recline in my chair at work.
Yeah.
Why would anybody not want that? Why does Jeremy want to not want that? So, one. Two, he fills the screen with the call screen program. He has the program take up the whole screen like I just did.
Okay.
This is monstrous. He doesn't want that blue border, that beautiful, perfectly centered look.
Yeah.
So that's the second thing I do when I get here every day is change the setting. And these are probably the first and second things he does every morning when he gets here is this and whatever. I don't even know how I would do it, but change the setting on the chair. So... if you've ever watched our streams, in the morning, Jeremy never leans back. And I'm always doing it. I have to remind myself to sit up. How do you like that? Speaking of,
I don't care about the screen thing. I just gotta get. I mean, totally for you. Great.
Perfectly centered.
That is Mark.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Marvelous. And if it weren't, that would make me insane.
Also, that
would be a real problem.
That writing in the bottom right corner has to fit, because if you aren't perfectly centered here, you get this.
Wow. Yeah. See, you know what I would do to avoid having to do all that? Or just leave it filling the whole screen. So I don't have to worry about the blue border being symmetrical and this little writing being exactly where it needs to be. I would just take the easy way out, which is expanded. So now the whole screen's full.
This is better.
That's perfect. I don't know about better. It's
definitely better.
I can't even say marginally because I don't think I care.
It's definitely better.
I would say whatever's easier would be better.
Well,
in this case.
You know what? What I learned growing up is that it's the hard that makes it great.
Yeah, well, I've heard that too.
Why take the easy route?
We both arrived at the same destination here. These jobs.
Why take the easy route?
Yeah.
I saw a guy last night at St. Francis that looked so much like Steve Tasker. I was talking to my wife, looking at him from a distance, and I'm like, there's a chance that's like 10%. There's a chance that's him. Didn't his kids go to maybe St. Francis?
I think so.
I thought there was enough of a chance.
Start doing like grandchild math there. Like, does he have kids that are old enough that they would have
kids that would
be playing high school lacrosse already?
A nephew? I don't know. Whatever it is.
Right.
So I thought there was enough chance it was him that I walked toward him. And I still wasn't sure until I got very close. And I'm thinking, like, I'm staring at this guy. I think just like his hair, his height, everything, like it was so Steve. And I got maybe 5 feet away and I turned my head to look and it definitely wasn't him. And I scooted in the other direction.
The whole time you're walking toward him, are you hoping he's going to recognize you?
Yes.
Right? That's what you're hoping for, right? So you're getting closer, you're getting closer, still nothing, especially if you can tell, has he noticed me? He has. Is this who I think it is? No, it turns out you got out of there unscathed then.
I think so.
The guy didn't seem to notice that you looked to be perhaps stalking him.
Correct.
Okay. That's a win.
Correct.
That's a win for you.
Good job. I must have been funny to watch, like, move away from him. Like, why was, if anybody was watching me, I'm sort of just walking around kind of aimlessly. Then I'm, poof. That's why. If you happen to see me there, that's what that was. Paul Hamilton after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.